So Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 will be our text where we start this morning. And Father, this morning as we've gathered together, there's just been a peace in our hearts. And no matter what shall come against us, Father, you've already taken care of all things. You've provided everything we need within ourselves. So this morning we stand in your peace, in your rest. Father, we've labored to enter into your rest, and now, Father, we wish to stand and to remain in that rest the remainder of our lives. No longer going back to working in the flesh and doing doctrine and laboring in traditions, but Father, we choose to stay in your word by the Spirit of God and to see our lives changed. Amen. So this morning we're going back to Galatians to finish up this chapter. And in chapter 1, what did I teach you about the word Galatians itself? It was about a righteous people. This book was written to Galatians, so it was written to a righteous people. Galatians means white mountain or righteous mountain or the ones on the righteous mountain. And that's the first fruit or the sons of God. Okay? Now, we know that through the studies, we know that everyone eventually will make it. According to Scripture, God says that He is the Father of all spirits. And every one of us have a spirit, right? So guess what? We're all brothers and sisters. But everyone is not a brother and sister full-blooded. We go to Joseph's life in Genesis and find out that Joseph had 11 brothers. But he only had one. He only had one full-blood brother, Benjamin. And the other 10 were what? And so you can see that he had 10, which is representative of what? The law. And the law is only a half-brother to us. It'll never fulfill us. But Benjamin, the son of my right hand, full power and authority of God, is the witness to us. And that's what them other two are, is the witness of the power of God over the law. Because they were the ones that was in control, weren't they? So we have to realize this book is written to, first, the first fruit. And if you're not familiar with the principle of first fruit, you can't do anything first without it being what? First. I can't go get a second helping of food if I've already had a first. I can't do it until I've had the first, can I? I can't go over and pick up a second ink pen until I picked up what? The first one. And I can't get the third one until I've already picked up how many? Two. See? And before God can get the last one, guess what he's got to do? He's got to pick first fruit before he can have the final gleaning. Does that make sense to you? He's got to first pick the first fruit so that he can get to the rest of them, okay? So this is what we're trying to figure out or understand, that God is trying to do these things, okay? Okay, chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially to them who are of the household of faith. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution of the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast or glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now let's go back and see what it says. Okay? Brethren, let's just look at the last verse of chapter 5. It says, let us not be self-conceited or challenging or irritating one another, right? Or being jealous of one another. Well, that's setting the foundation for where he's going right on in here. I believe these tie right together. He said, brethren, after all this thing going, he said, brethren, if a man or any human being is overtaken, or literally is found in a fault, in any fault or any, and you know, that word fault, what would you think it might mean? What would you think the fault means? I can't hear you. Well, that's what most people would say. But see, the word for sin is paratoma. No, excuse me, it's hartomeia. But this word, Paul wrote this word, he used it tremendously, most all the time, is the word paratoma, which means an intentional or an unintentional sidestep. He didn't use the word for sin, okay? But that it's a fault, whether it's intentional or unintentional, there was a fault here, okay? So he said, in any paratoma, any mistake that we make, anything that we do, okay? And he said, you, which, or you, the ones that are spiritual, restore this kind or sort of person in the spirit of what? Meekness or humility. Considering yourself, lest you also be enticed or tested. You might be enticed to walk down that same path. Okay? Okay? It's okay. It's all right. Hey. Hey, guys. Okay, we have to realize that if we don't restore someone in meekness, what are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to ourselves? We're placing ourselves in a position where you can be trapped in the same thing. How many people point a finger at somebody when they see somebody do something wrong? See, not everybody, most people. See, most people do that. Look what they're doing. Well, when I condemn that person, I put one finger on them and three right back on myself. See? I put myself in the very position that I might do it. And you know how many people I've seen condemn people for something and within a few months or a few weeks or something, they see them doing the same thing? It happens very frequently because they put themselves in a place to judge somebody and they haven't got the log out of their eye yet, have they? See? So we got to watch this. And this is what Paul is trying to teach us, okay? I want to read you this in the New American Standard. Brethren, if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you be tempted too. Does that make more sense? New American Standard says it really well. You don't want to get yourself in a trap by condemning or pointing the finger at someone else. So when someone does something wrong, you don't condemn them. Now, religion will also teach this. You never talk about what's going on negative. They say that causes slander. See, I was taught that by somebody. Anybody does something wrong, cover it up. Don't talk about it. No. If someone does something wrong, let's get it out on the table, find out what's wrong, let's examine it. Not to condemn anybody, but to expose it so we can understand and learn from the mistake. If I cover it up, who's going to learn from it? If you take a little child and tell them not to do something and they go do it, if you act like it never happened, they're going to do it again and again and again, aren't they? You've got to teach something out of this process. Everything, like Claudia said earlier, everything is for a reason. So if something happens, let's look at it and analyze it. Why? What are you trying to teach me in this, Lord, that I should know that I haven't got yet? And the same example that he puts out could be for two or three different reasons or two or three different people at the same time. He might be telling the person that did it not to do it anymore, but he might be trying to teach you grace and mercy at the same time. Do you see what I'm saying? You've got to have grace and mercy on everybody. Is it just on the ones you like? Who's it for? Everybody. See? We've got to have grace and mercy for everybody. He had grace and mercy for us. He said when we were yet sinners, he died for us, right? So we got to get to the place where we have grace and mercy for the ones who don't even like us, that detest us. So what? Still have grace and mercy for them. Okay? If Jesus had died on the cross only for the ones that liked him, you can figure the rest of that out, can't you? We didn't even know he existed, did we? Okay. Okay. Bear you one another's burdens, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ, or supply the law of Christ. Now, I like the word supply because it's in this language. See, if I bear one another's burdens, I'm not fulfilling the law, but it says I'm supplying the law of Christ. What does that mean differently to you? See, I'm not fulfilling something and say, well, I'm done. But when I bear someone else's burden, what am I doing? I am supplying the law of God to them. See, the law of grace and mercy. Do you understand the difference? If you don't, shake your head no. Okay? I want to supply the law of Christ. Christ is what? God. God is love. So I'm supplying love when I'm bearing someone else's burden. Does that make sense? I'm trying to get you so you can see where I'm going with this thing. Rather than saying I'm fulfilling the Word of God or the law of Christ, I'm supplying the law of Christ. I have become the sacrifice exactly as Him. Okay? So now I become that sacrifice and I give that to you in His stead. See, I'm part of His supply. And we are all supposed to be His supply to use for someone else. Verse 3 says, because if a man or anyone think himself to be something when he is nothing, he does what? Literally it says he deceives his own mind. See where the deception's at? Where's it at, Bob? Where's the deception at? His own mind. See, every time that we're deceived. See, you can't blame somebody for deceiving you. The Bible says deception is within. It's in the mind. See, can I be deceived if there's not a spirit of deception in me? You couldn't do it. See, and if I am a good steward of what God gives me, and that's what we're all supposed to do, and search the Scriptures daily to see if what's said is true, am I going to believe all the garbage that I hear on TV and radio and satellite and the web and all this stuff? No. Okay. Search it out. He said, just taught in Luke 11, Thursday night. What about the snake and the rock and all this stuff and the serpent? See, he ain't going to give you them things. He'll give you the truth if you want it. Didn't James say, if any man lack wisdom, ask God, who gives to all men liberally? And he don't rebuke you or upbraid you about it, he'll give it to you if you sincerely want it. Most people don't want the truth because it exposes their darkness. Isn't that right? So deception comes from within. There's so many people today who won't come to hear truth because it's different from what they've got accustomed to hearing, and they're afraid of being deceived, but guess what? Yeah, they're already deceived. If you're afraid to hear anything that would contradict what you believe, then you're already in deception because you really don't believe it anyway. If I believe with all my heart what God tells me about this book, nobody on the face of the earth can take me beyond that point. If I believe it, you can't change my mind if God showed it to me. You hear what I'm saying? Nobody can deceive me because I know what God spoke to me, see? My sheep hear my, he didn't say read my words, he said to hear my voice. And the voice of another, they will not hear. Guess what? That means, just like Matthew 24 says, 24, Matthew 24:20. If it were possible, even the very elect should be deceived. But the if is in the language. It's there. If. That tells me it's not possible. Okay? He's saying if it was possible, it happened, but it's not possible. Why? Because his sheep hear his voice, and the voice of another they will not listen to. And the one he's talking about is that carnal mind. See? There's the one. The one that thief that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. So we don't have to worry about that. But this thing about deception, we've got to get free about it. Anything you believe, if you are afraid to lay it on a table in front of everybody and let them roll it around any direction they want to look at it, up, down, sideways, north, south, east, or west, any way they want to look at it, if you're afraid to do that, you're already in deception. You're already deceived. I'm not afraid to talk to anybody about what I believe because I know what I believe. I heard Father tell me. See, I didn't go to a cemetery to get my instructions. Seminary for the ones that didn't understand that. But I didn't go to a place of death to get life. Where do you get life? In Christ. You don't get it in an organization. You get it from the Spirit of God. And guess where that Spirit of God is? It's within you, absolutely. See, you don't worry about somebody else. Yes, God has sent men and women out to help instruct people. Yes, He did do that. But see, still, I'm not your source of life. Your source of life is within you. The Christ that He put within you is your source of life. And you don't get it from a group of people or anything like that. Well, we can have fun fellowship, but your source of life comes from Christ, nobody else. Okay? But let everyone prove his own work. Does that sound like somebody in a big group? Huh? Let everyone prove his own work. And then shall have rejoicing where? In himself alone. See? Now, is that saying I'm an island? I don't need to go to church. I don't need to fellowship with people. No, he's just saying you know and have a confidence in yourself that God is in you of a truth. And nobody can take that away from you anymore, can they? See, once you know it, once you prove your own work, you do it in yourself, no one can take it away from you. But see, a lot of people take this as a liberty. Well, see, I just do my own thing. I do whatever I want to. And I worship God this morning riding out on my Harley Davidson. God's out there too. Well, wherever you are, God is. But that doesn't mean you don't fellowship. See, there's the difference. They take it as a license to do what their mind twists and turns to make them do. I've had people say, well, I can go fishing and worship God. Well, I've been out there fishing and talked to God, and He's given me a lot of revelation. But it wasn't because I was out there fishing. God's talked me in some of the most unholy places you've ever imagined. It's because God dwells within us, and I'm listening to Him. That's why He can talk to me. And if my spirit is attuned to His spirit, we're tuned in together, guess what? He can talk to me anytime He wants to. Wherever, whenever. He doesn't have to ask a question. He's the boss. Isn't He the master, the Lord, and I'm the servant? So guess when He can talk to me? Anytime He wants to. If I'm asleep and He wants to talk, all He has to do is just say, wake up, dummy. And I can talk to Him. No, I know He won't, but I'm just making it as a point of conversation here. If He says, wake up, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and talk to Him. I've done it many times. So it's whatever He wants. And see, all God's trying to do in our lives is to teach us something. That He loves us and He knows what's best. Remember the old show, Father Knows Best? He really does. I'm not talking about the TV show, I'm talking about our Father. And all He's trying to do is teach us that He loves us and He wants us to listen to Him for the direction. See? I'm not preaching about Dave being important in your life. I'm talking about your Father and a relationship with Him. That's what's important in your life. If you forget me today and never remember my name or ever see me again, you'll be all right. But you can't forget your Father and be all right. Because that's what your identity is placed in Him. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's about Him. Because everyone shall bear his own burden. I know you could go to churches all over the place today and they'll be talking about you'll be carrying the sin for 3 and 4 generations, you know. Hogwash. Let me give you some verses. Let me walk you through a few. Let's go in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 17:10. Jeremiah, right after Isaiah, 17:10. He says this, I'm going to read 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins or the inward parts, even to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Who got judged for what? Every man according to his own ways and his own doings. Okay. Same thing. Okay? Let's look at Jeremiah 32:19. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for your eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Who's carrying the burden? Each individual person. See, the people did not understand the law even when the law was written. They quoted the words, but they didn't understand. It was right here that every man's responsible for himself. Okay? There's another one in Ezekiel 18:4. I'll give you three. In the Old Testament. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. How many of them? As the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. He showed you there was a soul of the Father and a soul of the Son. He's showing two separate people here. And he said, whichever one of them sins, guess what? That soul shall die. Okay? Let me take you to Matthew 16:27. Give you a couple of what they call the New Testament. I know that's still into the Gospels. Let me find it here. Matthew 16:27. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to what? His works. That sound like you're going to get punished for what your father did? I don't think so. Romans chapter 2, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 3 and 8, and Revelation 22 and 12. I'll turn to that last one, Revelation 22, 12. And show you that, guess what? It's every man standing on his own. 22:12. Jesus is speaking. He said, behold, I come quickly, or I appear suddenly, and my reward is in the midst of me to give every man according as his work shall be. Okay. Does that sound like I'm accountable for what somebody else did? No. You got to learn. You got to walk out your own deliverance with fear and trembling. Okay? Let's go back to Galatians again. Every man shall bear his own burden. Okay, now let's look at verse 6. That was verse 5. Read it to you in the King James, and I'm going to read it to you in a whole bunch of translations. Because most every translation other than King James has got it pretty close to being right. King James is the only one that's messed up. He said, let him that is taught in the word, communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Now someone unscramble that mess for me. Let me read you out of some other Bible translations. Let me read the Amplified. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. Does that make sense? Okay. The one's teaching should be taken care of by who? Now, Paul didn't just say it's one place. He said it in two or three other places. Jesus said the same thing. Don't muzzle the mouth of the ox that treads out the grain, the word of God. That him that labors in the word are worthy of what? Double hire. So Paul's saying that. Let me read it to you in the New American Standard. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches them. Let me read you the New International Version. Anyone who receives instruction in the Word must share all good things with his instructor. What does it say in the New King James? Claudia, you got it. Share with all good things that you have with the teacher. I'm not preaching this because that's just part of the process I go through. I'm not teaching y'all got to bring all your stuff and give it to me. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling what the book says. You hear what I'm saying? I don't teach about you're supposed to supply me. I'm supposed to be your servant. But you have to hear what God has to say for you in this also. Okay? Let me read it out of the Living Bible. Verse 6 out of the 6th chapter of Galatians in the Living Bible says this. Those who are taught the Word of God should help their teachers by paying them. That's what it says. Okay? I don't take a salary, so I'm not worried about that. Okay? I'm not going to belabor that. We'll just go on with it in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, because whatsoever a man sows, that shall also he reap. Now, do you realize that this is in the same context of what he just said? He's talking about sowing to the flesh, and this thing is misquoted and used for a lot of other things, and some things it can legitimately be used for. But he's talking about one thing right here. What's he talking about in verse 6? He's talking about sharing with the teacher, isn't he? Sharing what you have with the teacher that teaches you what you need, okay? And then he turns around and says, don't be deceived now. If you sow, God is not mocked, because whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For because he, or the one that sows to his flesh, wonder what that might be. Well, no. He sows to his flesh. We're talking, this is all the same context here. Let's don't get out of context. See what it says. He says about sharing with your teacher, right? And he says, don't be deceived. You know, for whatsoever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. And he says, because the one that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap the life of everlasting. Can you see a parallel here? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. A teacher's best return is to see that student has learned.
Sure. It's the best return.
But if that student gives back what he's learned to
you. No, that's not the context. But it doesn't have to be, no. No. But see, there should be something coming back.
Right.
See, that's what he's saying.
See that student learn, yeah. That's coming back.
Yeah. But what he's sharing here, I understand that a teacher, the greatest thing he can do, or she, is to have someone excel where they're at. To go beyond where I'm at. Go for it. I hope y'all do. See? I hope y'all can keep right on going and can blow right on by me. I hope you can. See? That's the greatest reward I could receive. But I don't think that's the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about sowing things of the physical nature here back to help the ones that help him. And you, why do you think Paul taught this? You think he was lacking anything? But see, what he saw was, he saw a bunch of people that were greedy. And the Corinthians were the group he was talking about. The Corinthian people didn't give to Paul's needs. And the Philippians and other churches had to give and take care of him. And he even had to go out and labor and work all day making tents and go preach at night. Okay? For his own thing. And he even comes back in the second letter to Corinthians and said, I say this not to your good, but I say it for your abasement, or something to that effect. He said, I'm doing it to rebuke you. You did not take care of the man of God that came to supply your needs. You kept your own. See, you let him go fend for himself after he spent all he had to take care of you, then you left him set on the street. And Paul had to fend for himself. And somebody else came in and covered him. God had someone else cover him. He said, but I'm saying this to your abasement. You know, you didn't do what you should have done. That's what God's saying. And that's what Paul's teaching it here. Okay, I don't know how, and I know in a lot of these churches, the pastors are pretty well left to fend for themselves. Many of them don't pay their pastors anything. That's wrong, according to this scripture. Okay, and I'm not looking for a wage. I've never taken one, and I hope I never have to take one. But how can a man or a woman of God put himself on a time clock and work 8 hours, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, and then take care of his family, and then take care of his home, whatever things he's got to do? When's he going to have time to hear God? Because you got to be still to hear God. in all this rat race in our lives, you think we're going to hear God when we're running crazy? Okay? We got to slow down and be still, and then we can hear God. See, we got to quit flying and running and get down to walking. Slow down so I can hear God. There's so many things in the world to consume us, and those things can consume our hearing. That's the worst thing we can do, is let our hearing get away. Sure, it's sowing to the flesh, because the flesh is what's drawing you out into all these things. In the book of Revelation, it says, I think it's 8 times, blessed is he that has what? Ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Okay? He's not talking about these little protrusions on the side of our head. We can feel vibration. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about hearing inside. We can hear the words in the English, and then yet the Spirit begins to speak to us. There's what he's talking about. See? And very few people have ears to hear. That's the truth. Because they got so much going on in their head. It's like a tornado going on inside their head, or a hurricane. And they're saying, I can't hear. What? I can't hear. Why? There's so much going on in my head, I can't hear. I know. Be quiet. See? Be still. You've got to learn to calm yourself down. I'm not talking about we got things we got to do. I know that. But we got to calm ourselves down inside. You'd be surprised how many people that look or put the appearance that they're in peace. Follow them a little bit and watch what happens. Watch when somebody kicks them in the shins what they do. They'll rip your head off and spit down your neck in a heartbeat. See? Is that peace? No. See, if you walk into peace, he didn't say, I'm leaving, here's my peace, and use it whenever you need it or whenever you want to. If I have peace, guess what? I have it 24/7. If I truly have the peace of God, I got it 24/7. That's not condemnation. It's just showing a lack of understanding if I go outside of that peace. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not condemnation there. You have to learn. If I make a mistake, that's a process of teaching me how to stay there. I know that's wrong. I've got to change my course, don't I? If I get angry, I've got to change my course. Something's not right with my navigational system. See, I must be listening to that other voice, because his voice will never deceive me. It will never lie to me. It will never misguide me. It'll take me exactly where I need to go. We've got to come to that understanding and realize what we've got to have to make it through here. Okay? I basically already did verse 8, didn't I? Because he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now notice when he says, when he sows to his flesh, he didn't say sow to just flesh. He said when you sow to your own flesh. So what would that be? Bob, you mentioned it earlier. What was you said about yourself? You said you were greedy. See? And greed is about who? See, greed is about self. And that's what the natural man is full of. The natural man is self-centered. Egotistical, would that be a good word? And the word ego in the Greek language means I. Well, we get our word ego or egotistical. See, it's all going back to that. It's about the one, number one. And we've got to get out of that number one mentality into the we and us, right? Not the I, me, or mine, but it's the we and us. And we os is the Greek word for the mature son. Okay? But he that sows to the Spirit, or literally the word thee is to his spirit, put it in context. If he sows to his flesh, he's sowing to his, or sowing to his what? Spirit. Do you see the context? If he's talking about sowing to his flesh or sowing to his spirit, not the spirit or the flesh. Shall what? Shall not of, but what? From out of that spirit, reap the life of the ages. Okay? From out of that spirit, the one he sows into, that's where he's going to reap from. If I sow into my own spirit, the spirit of Christ in me, what am I going to reap from? The Christ. Wouldn't that make sense? If I'm sowing into my Christ spirit, won't I reap from my Christ spirit? Or am I going to sow into my flesh and reap from my flesh? There's the two options. I'll get one or the other. And everybody sows to one or the other. And sometimes we sow to both. one this time and one that time, but that's still duality, isn't it? We need to come out of that. Verse 9. Now he's going to encourage you. He's told you some things that need to be told, and then he's going to encourage you in verse 9. He says, but let us not be weary in well-doing. See, a lot of people say, man, I've done this for 25 years, and now they're out in the street flopping. Well, what's that got to do with it? He said, if you continue in well-doing and don't faint, you'll reap in the set time. See, I know a man right now, he was 20 years in the Assemblies of God. He said, man, I tithe every week, I've done everything. He said, it's all a rip-off. I said, it's only a rip-off because you let them deceive you. You believe their doctrines. And then you want to come and argue with me doctrine? I don't want to talk about doctrine. I want to talk about the Word of God. He said, well, we're not too far apart. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. We're still way far apart in our understanding. About, yeah, completely outside of there. Okay? But verse 9 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, because in due time, or literally it says, one's own kairos is the word. And it means set time. In one's own set time, we shall reap what? If we do not grow weary. See? And wasn't the first thing says, let us not be weary in well-doing? Just because you don't see the fruit of it, if I go help somebody today and I don't see any fruit out of it, does that mean I quit doing it? Because I didn't get some reward? See, and that's what most people in church has been taught. If you do good things, then God will give it back to you. Okay, so they go give things away and do good things, help somebody, and tomorrow they said, well, my checkbook's empty. Well, you dummy, you give it all away yesterday. And God didn't tell you anyway, some man told you to do it. See what I'm saying? We listen to what people say instead of what God says. I've had people come to me and say, brother, God told me you should be giving such and such, this, 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 and this. I said, well, when God wants me to do it, God will tell me. See, I'm not going to wait for some other person to direct my life. God speaks to me. I can hear him in my spirit, not with these ears on the side of my head. And when he tells me to do something, I'll do it. See, but if he don't tell me, somebody else could tell me all day long, and I'm still not going to do it because it's another voice. It don't sound exactly the same as the one I'm used to hearing. And that's what he wants you to do. Get so attuned to hearing him that the other one's so obvious that you just laugh whenever they talk to you. Just laugh at them. Okay? Verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. To who? The word men isn't even there. Just all. They didn't just do good to men, let the women go. I know that's what the church doctrines are, but that's not right. To all. Okay? That word men is an added word. Especially or particularly to them who are of the household of faith. So he said the ones that are in the faith are the ones you take care of first, basically. Especially get them. Or firstly, let's get them. And then get to everybody else you can too, when we have the opportunity. Verse 11. You see how large a letter I've written to you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show, literally it says a good showing in the flesh, they compel you, not constrain, but they compel you to be circumcised. And then it should say this. It says, the King James says, only lest they should suffer persecution. Well, literally it should say this. Only so they would not suffer the persecution of the cross. See? They don't want to be circumcised. And if you get circumcised, you're going to bring a negative light to them because you're going to contradict their way of life. So they want you to be circumcised in the flesh and say that's all there is to it, no more circumcision of the heart, because that's the cross coming in. And see, they don't want to suffer that. So that, you've heard the old saying, misery loves company. Well, that's what he's telling you right here. They don't want to suffer the persecution of the cross, so they want you to come and be like them. Verse 13, because neither they themselves who are circumcised obey the law, not keep, but obey the law, but desire to have you circumcised in order that they may boast in your flesh. What do you think that means, to glory or boast in your flesh? Well, they can boast in it because they got you. Look how many I got in church today. Let's have a contest. Whoever brings the most people to church Sunday will get a big sucker. Have you ever heard that junk? It's going on today. Let's see how many we can get to church Sunday. And if we can get over this number, we'll let everybody have a bag of candy. How's that? Because they figure it's a pretty good investment. If they can pass them little trinkets out to you and trade you off, kind of like trading the island of Manhattan off to the Indians for some beads, wasn't it? About the same thing. It's a hustle. Nobody should come to church. No one should come to fellowship unless God draws them. If God doesn't draw them, hit the street. Who cares? Don't come in here and make it miserable for everybody else. You understand what I'm saying? If somebody's in the midst of us that's not supposed to be here, what are they going to bring in here? Confusion. Confusion. Turmoil. Nothing will be settled. But whenever, every time I've noticed this, and this ain't knocking nobody, everybody has a time and a season, do they not? This place is a place that demands one thing. Not by me, but by the letter of the word, by the law of God. Okay? Not the letter of the word, but the spirit of the word. And it demands a change when you hear the truth. Okay? Look, Claudia, what did you just say about your life? What happened just recently? Something's going on. What's happening? See? And that's what the truth does to you. Somebody don't have to tattoo you and say, this is a list of things you got to do on your arm so you can make sure you get it all right. It's hearing that word and letting that word get inside of you and do things, and it does the work. You don't have to labor anymore. We rest. We enter into His rest, and the Spirit begins to do things in your heart. Oh, you're going to have some responses to make. That's okay. He gives the increase. See? But every time in every church I've been, when there has been a separation and upheaval, everybody starts saying, oh, the devil's doing his thing. He's in the church. He's kicking up, you know. All hogwash. It's people doing it. And God's stirring people. And God's sifting people. And you know what? If they're not supposed to be here, where should they be? Somewhere else. Not here. And it's okay. I'm not mad at anybody because they don't come here. I wished a whole lot more would come in here because I know what I got to say could change their life. And that's not in arrogance or pride. That's in confidence. I know it's changed my life. And that's a lot of reason why they're not here, because the light exposes the darkness. See? It's not about somebody telling me what to do, and I don't tell anybody what to do. You do what God tells you what to do. You let Him tell you what to do. But I'll show you the truth. And I get people upset with me all the time, but it's okay. I don't get upset back. Okay? But they want to boast in you because they've got you to do what they want. They got you under their thumb, in control. Verse 14. But God forbid, and the word God forbid is in the Scripture many times, but it's all a fabrication of someone's mind. Those are never in there. The Greek word is genomei. Literally, you should say this, may it never be. Okay, may it never be. That I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. Now let's talk about that. Now let's talk about it. He says, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified, right, to me. How does the world get crucified to you? Through the cross of Christ, right? Now, what does this word world mean to you? And here's a misunderstanding. I want to get straightened out. What does the word world mean to you? You want to tell me something? What's it mean? Okay. Anybody else got anything? The word is cosmos. No. Let me show you something. It's the word cosmos, the orderly arrangement. It's used every time when it says before the foundation of the world, cosmos. Now, if we go back by understanding, And I'm not going to get into all the to teaching to bring it back to this, but literally it's before the conception of the cosmos. At the time of cosmos was the conception of the orderly arrangement in the mind of Adam. I'm just going to say that, and I'm not going to get into a big teaching about it. But Adam, to a certain place, did what? He obeyed God. And there come to a place in the scriptures where he said in Isaiah, I will be like the Most High God. Some pride raised up in him. Right? He said, I'll do these things. At that very instant, you know what happened? The cosmos was set. The orderly arrangement in the mind of humanity took the place of the arrangement that God... and things that the church has put on you, man has put on you, it doesn't mean anything. It cannot change this thing up here. But this thinking process has to be crucified. It has to die. Thinking process. Okay? I'm not talking about your brain. I'm talking about your thinking process, the way you think, the orderly arrangement of man. He said, the only thing that avails anything is a new what? Creation. A new creation, and that's what we are. We are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. See? Didn't say we're there yet, did it? He already did it in the Spirit, did he not? Remember in Luke 11, he said, teach us how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, in the spirit realm, your kingdom come, into the earth, and we are earth, as it already is done in the spirit realm. See? It's already done in spirit, but we got to walk it out. So we got to pray now, okay, put it on here on the earth. Put it in my earth. Let me walk it out. Well, what if I can't do it? What if I make a mistake? What's grace and mercy for? What if I make a mistake? It said in Proverbs that a righteous man will fall 7 times. But God will pick him up. Okay? If you're walking right and make a mistake, you know what God will do? He'll pick you up. Go right on. It's all right. He ain't going to worry about it because you'll learn from those mistakes. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Now, he said upon the Israel of God. Well, that makes me think there must be an Israel that's not of God. Hello? There's an Israel out here that's not of God. Jesus said it, and Paul wrote it, or John wrote it in Revelation 3:9. There's some who say they're Jews, but they're not. They do lie, but they're of the synagogue of Satan. Now, you think we're talking about devil worshipers here? The synagogue of Satan is your own mind. See, that's that world that needs to be crucified. See, and that old man was crucified. He really was. But we want to resurrect him, blow life back up in him. Okay? Verse 17, he says, from henceforth let no man trouble me. Hello, you should be saying that. From henceforth let no man, let no humanity trouble me. You know why? I can say that. And I love to say it. Drives religious folk plumb crazy. Who do you think you are? Son of God. Son of God. This is where they go ballistic. Who are you to compare yourself to our Jesus? Oh, I love this. He says, from henceforth let no humanity trouble me, because I bear in my body... not marks, but I, two things that the word says, I bear about in my body the scars of service. And there's one other thing, or ownership. I bear about the scars of service or the marks of ownership. Oh my. Hearing is the mark of ownership. In the New Testament, you know how they showed ownership to a slave when he was free and he chose to stay with his master? They took his ear and put it up against the doorpost and took a awl and drove it through and hung an earring in him. How about that? How about that? He said, I bear about in my body the scar of service or ownership of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be what? In the midst of your spirit. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, if you have this mind of Christ, if you understand what you have, where else could the grace be but in the midst of your spirit? See, Christ is love. Christ is grace. Christ is mercy. And like Bub said earlier, all these amenities, all these things we can say, these adjectives about Him are all one flavor, but many ingredients in that one flavor. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, right? It's all one flavor, but these are all different ingredients that make that one thing. We have a big pot of soup, and we put all these different flavors and seasonings in there, but it's just one flavor, isn't it? It's the flavor of that great soup, but guess what? All those different ingredients make it into that great thing it is. And the great thing He is made by His long-suffering, His love, His mercy, His grace. Oh, if you can just hear inside what God is doing, because that's how you do it. And you don't have to worry about anybody else controlling you, manipulating you. Hear it inside. And you'll never walk in fear, but I promise you this, when you do walk in fear, I mean, when you walk in this truth, you will be condemned by experience. I speak these things. You'll be condemned. You'll be told you're arrogant. You'll be told you're obnoxious. You're rude. You're overbearing. You're intimidating. I could go on with adjectives all day. But see, the only thing that is because they choose not to get close to the light. If I'm standing in a dark room and someone turns a light on, and you know, a lot of people are conscious of how they look, or conscientious of how they look, and the closer you get out of that darkness and come into the light, how much more do people look at you? Huh? And they just start really scrutinizing you when you get up under the light. Oh my God, look at there. See all them little imperfections that they never saw at a distance in the dark. Okay? And that's what intimacy is about, getting close in the light. And then guess what you can see? What you'll truly see is a reflection of yourself. Because when you get in the light and look at somebody in the eye, you know what you see? You can see a reflection of yourself when you look in somebody's eyes. Those eyes are a great mirror. And if you get in the light, you can see that reflection of yourself. And that's what it should be. See, we should be able to look in each other and see a reflection of each other. You should be able to look in me and see a reflection of you. I look in you and see a reflection of myself. We're just big mirrors. We're kind of looking dimly right now, but we're going to get clearer. I promise you that. It'll get clearer. The closer you get to the light, the better the image is going to be.